Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hey, everyone. Corey from End the Podcast Will Rock here, and this is part two of our Women and Children First live ranking show that we did on Friday, September 30th. Joining us for this show was our all-star panel of patrons, plus the one and only Eric Senich from Booked on Rock. And we compiled all of our rankings for Women and Children First, put them all together, and came up with our definitive show rankings for the tracks on that album. So sit back and relax and enjoy part two of our discussion of Women and Children First.
Thank you.
Let's find out, shall we? What hit number four? Any guesses? Let's just shout them out. What do you think hit number four?
Romeo.
I think Romeo hit Romeo. Four.
Yeah. Hey, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Well, I don't know. I got this bottle here.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
That's right.
Come on.
Take your whiskey home.
Oh, my.
Number four, 171 points. Its highest ranking, number one by two people. Its lowest ranking, again, was ninth by one person. It was ranked eighth by three folks, seventh by two people, sixth by four people, fifth by one person, fourth by four people, and third by nine. So that's really where it kind of leveled out, even though it finished fourth. Four people had it ranked second, and two people had it ranked number one. So Take Your Whiskey Home comes in at number four.
Wow. And now when the audience and the chat, they're just going to lose their minds because, like, how dare this song come in so low? Look, it made top five. What do you want? But look. Full disclosure, so for me, this was my number five. So number four, it was my number three. So it was close, but I had a feeling this one was going to be ranked a lot higher, but here we are at number four. It's still high, it's still top five, but I'm surprised. So let's find out where people's heads were. In the voting process, Eric Senich, where did Take Your Whiskey Home fall for you?
Number three. One of the greatest blues rock songs ever. And you could put this up against those classic old school Aerosmith, like dirty blues rock songs.
Little ZZ Top, too, I thought.
Little ZZ Top. Oh, yeah. Nobody's voice is better for this song than Dave, especially that opening. Awesome. Listen to those lyrics, too. This is one of the best
look at this.
Lyrics right here.
Tom Armbruster says he ruined the curve because he's the one who put it at number 9.
Wow. Ooh. Explain yourself, Tom.
Tim.
Come on, buddy.
Tim, yeah, that's who it was. It wasn't Tom. It was the alter ego, Tim.
That's right. Boy.
Oh, man. That's...
Greatest lyrics. Some goes to women, some goes to Jesus, though I'm absolutely certain both all right.
That's one of his best lines. I love
yep,
it.
Yep, my favorite.
Indeed. Well, Scott Everett, how did Take Your Whiskey Home fare for you?
Well, we'll get Tom a break. He's having a bad week.
All right. Fair enough, Tom. Fair enough.
He's having a really bad week. I had it at 5. Love the song. Love the bass line. Love the lyrics. Again, this album's so great. It had to fall somewhere. Lyrics are fantastic. And I think Eric said it perfect. Nobody else could sing this song. Dave is perfect for this song. And I'm not even sure anyone else would write these lyrics. So Dave's just a perfect fit. And Eddie didn't even want this song on the album. So that tells you again where it was music he wasn't apparently thrilled with, but I think it's a great song. Great song.
Huh. Let's see. Chaz, was this a top 3 for you, or were you at 4?
No, this actually would be in at 5 for me, kind of sick, right in the middle of the pack, just for the simple reason that the goddamn album is so great and there's so many I love ahead of it. Unfortunately, they're just more iconic to me for what, you know, other reasons. Like I said, I was being deferential to you guys by putting Cradle first, but Fools for me stands out. And so like this song, very, you know, like kind of like in that wheelhouse, right? In that same kind of, like we were talking about before, smoky kind of honky tonk, you would expect this song to be busted out on that set list, right along with others. Just for me, like Fools did a little bit better, right? So that got higher. You know, honestly, yeah, it becomes as everyone has said, any given day of the week, the order up in here, up in 5-1, it could change a little bit from day to day, but pretty solid.
It's a common consensus, like,
yeah, it man,
probably will change tomorrow or change next week or it'll stay the same, but either way,
fucking brilliant, brilliant. Yes,
Ben, how about you? Where'd it go for you?
Yeah, this came in at 3. I love this song.
Yeah.
It's mostly Dave. That groove is unbelievable. I remember when this came out as a kid, you know, and we would scurry into the woods with a 6-pack of beer and we'd have tunes out. And this brings me right back to that space and time. It's just party rock. And and that blues sensibility that they are so good at. And Dave is just headlining on this. I love it. It's a great song. Number 3. Yeah.
Ultimate party rock. That it has been said about them, and we'll keep saying it because it's true. Davey Lee, how do you feel about Take Your Whiskey Home?
This is my number 3. Like I was going to copy what Eric said. VH could do blues rock as much as any other blues rock band out there. Like ZZ Top is one of them, and like you could hear that ZZ Top sensibility in a lot of their songs, really. But yeah, one of the they could do blues rock as much as anybody, like with the acoustic, the badass acoustic guitar opening and the delivery of Dave. And then they just kick it into full rock mode and great lyrics. Some goes to women, some goes to Jesus. I kind of compare this to Ice Cream Man from the first album. Like they start off with acoustic and then they just blast off to a full on rocker. And, you know, Ice Cream Man had that. It was a blues song. And I know this one's not like I kind of take Stay Frosty as like the sequel to Ice Cream Man from A Different Kind of Truth. But I just can't, you know, it's easy to compare this to Ice Cream Man because it starts off acoustic, then it goes a rocker, it's a blues song, even though it's not like a ice cream pun or anything about that. But yeah, it's just one of the finest blues rock tunes out there. I was going to copy what Eric said. Yeah. One of my favorite VH deep cuts, absolutely.
There you go. Brad, do you feel the same way, or did you have it in a different spot?
You know, I thought I'd be higher with it. And I did my rankings this morning, listening to it on a long drive, kind of going back and forth. And I was just listening to something else. And just this morning, something else kept pushing Take Your Whiskey Home down for me. And ultimately, I had it at 7. But I don't think that it's a bad song. It's a fun song. It's got a great drive. It's got great lyrics. Just 6:30 this morning, it came in at 7.
So. Right. Fair enough.
It happens. Yeah. I'm not going to fault you for that one. Heath, have we gone to you yet?
No. This is right in Dave's wheelhouse there, that, that bluesy wheelhouse we talked about. And more than almost anything else, he embodies this song, like the kind of the hiccuping through it, and the whiskey crack voice, and just this this tale of drunken carousing, pissing off the girlfriend sort of thing. He's perfect here. I love, and it's he's got that acoustic thing going on, and then the way the band kicks in. I'm surprised that he hated the song, because it's actually he powers it so much when he the way he kicks in. The Jesus line, some go to women, some go to Jesus. Three of us have said it now. It's just, I think that's one of his best lines. That's a great line.
Yep. It's a Dave line through and through. Where'd you have it ranked?
I had it ranked number 3.
Aha. There you go. So common. Yeah. See a lot of common, number threes, and yet it's still only cracked at number 4. Where'd you have it, Corey?
I had it same as you, Mark, number 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a conundrum we find ourselves in.
That is the only song you and I ranked together, was Take Your Whiskey Home. I was just looking at who ranked it number 1. It was actually a couple of our favorite patrons. Jeff Brewer had it number 1, and so did Kevin Brown.
Mm. Oh, that little sly fox Kevin Brown. Yeah, actually, I could see that. I could see this one, because he does, I recall him, he talked a lot about how he feels about Take Your Whiskey Home. So yeah, that doesn't shock me in the slightest.
That little British dickhead, he's all over the fucking map. He either likes really proggy garbage like early Genesis, or I didn't really peg him as a blues rocker. Even though on the second season of Ultimate Catalog Clash, I'm thinking about making him listen to ZZ Top, their entire catalog. But I was kind of shocked that he picked Take Your Whiskey Home number 1, to be honest with you.
He's kind of like,
Corey, please don't hold your feelings back. What do you really think?
Is this a safe space? Can I let him out?
Podcast. I'm going to say he was the host once and only once, and he was gone. That's it.
Never again. Yeah, we'll never hit 200 episodes, because we're not inviting that son of a bitch back. But no. He just
pulled the 100th episode was like Van Halen 3. He's in.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we're going to forget all about it. We're going to move back on with the wheel and no more Kevin Brown.
We have to give Kev a little more credit for his performance as a host.
Give him some love.
To call it the Van Halen 3 of the episodes. Like, no, not that one. No, forget about
great,
that.
Kevin,
you did great.
Apologies to Kevin. New t-shirt. Uh-oh. There you go.
Johnny,
we got a new panelist, everybody. Johnny Bean is here. Hey, Johnny.
How are you?
Hey. There he is.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Hey.
Very nice.
Oh my gosh.
There's welcome
a lot of
to the
here.
Show, sir. Yes, there is. And we're talking to Women and Children First. We're talking specifically about Take Your Whiskey Home. This ranked kind of low for you on your rankings. You had it at number 8. What do you want to say about this track?
Explain yourself.
Oh my gosh. I can't even. That was a while ago. I don't know. I love the song. I don't know if you guys have heard it. I think there's like a demo of that, like a different demo, not, you know how there's the Women Children First demos that are out there and the quality is like really bad, right? I think there's another demo they did of that like in like 76 or something, like way early.
Okay.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You ever heard that before?
Yes. Yes, because it was from the club days.
Yeah, and it's Take Your Whiskey Home, and it's a demo, and it's super cool. I heard it on my iPod driving home one night, and I'm like, wow, I don't even remember this.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as my ranking,
if you guys want to hear it, I can try and bring it in here.
Oh, you have it?
Put it out, baby.
I hope so.
Oh, you got the original?
Let's hear it.
Well, this it's should be the second one.
Yeah.
Yep. Was that the one you're referring to, Johnny?
It might be.
Wow.
Actually, no. This sounds live. This sounds.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it was this. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But Dave sounds great on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's now that's produced.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, yeah, maybe it was this.
Could that? I mean, that could that be from the Gene Simmons demos? But never, we never. It sounds like it's produced.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's yeah. Not. But to me, it sounds earlier than that.
Right.
It does sound.
Could this
very
be 74?
Early. Yeah.
Is this like Mark Stone on bass back in 74?
No, it can't be. Could it?
No.
I don't know.
Inquiring minds want to know.
but as far as my ranking, I can't remember that either. So I don't know what I did. But I will say, whenever somebody asks me what my favorite Van Halen record is, if I can only pick one, I always just show them this.
Yeah, my brother had that too.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So you get two for one.
Two for one.
Yeah, good choice.
Last that in his Ford.
And what a pair.
Those are two of their best ever. And to have them both on one thing, you know.
Cool. My favorite Van Halen record is the Collection Volume 1. Because it's the first six albums. So.
Oh. There you go, man.
There you are, yeah. Wow. Take Your Whiskey Home coming at number
that
four. The shock of everyone.
Yeah, that bass line you just heard there sounds a little different. So
it did, yeah. That was ripping. Yeah. Liked it better.
Sounded really bloody cool. I got to say, Scott Monroe in the chat says, in my head canon, Women and Children First is a concept album about a high school dude having a wild day and night.
Yeah.
Take Your Whiskey Home captures the dude's attitude, and he had it at number three. So
I could see that.
Bueller. Yeah. Bueller.
My head canon too, Scott.
Love that. All right. Should we find out what hit number three?
We're in the top three now, so I have a guess, but I'm curious.
Oh, by the way, first of all, Take Your Whiskey Home, when we did our audience poll, 98%? 98% for Take Your Whiskey Home. Right. Number one ranked song.
Holy crap. That is the number one song.
What did our panelists ranked it for.
So what do we have here? Did you say 84 here? Where were we at?
This is number four, yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So number three is this track here. We got some jungle sounds, which must mean only one thing.
Oh, whoa.
Everybody wants some.
Okay.
Finished number three. Total points, 204. It was ranked first by four people. It was the lowest ranking was sixth by one person. So nobody ranked it ninth, eighth, or seventh. One person ranked it sixth. Three people ranked it fifth. Nine people ranked it fourth. Eight people ranked it third. Five people ranked it second. And four people ranked it first. So everybody wants some. One of the marquee tracks from this record comes in at number three.
Are you guys hearing it? I'm not hearing it.
You're not hearing it?
No, I don't hear it either.
Oh, I could turn it up. Oh. How's that?
Yep, now it's loud. I'll be honest with you. I thought this one was going to be the sleeper winner of the race. Oh. I thought people were just gonna pull a mulligan or something like that, and it was like, no, turns out everyone collectively likes this song the best from the album, and I wouldn't have been mad about it, but I would have been a little bit surprised. I think I'm more shocked now that it's number three, but again, it's really hard to rank these the songs on these albums, because this is a great album, and the more we talk about it and the more we get sort of re-review the tracks, listen to them as we're talking about them, it's really a testament to just how well done this album is in terms of song structure, in terms of replayability, and just where the boys were when they made this. And number three is respectable, but I am shocked that it's
I gotta say, two people currently on the call rank this number one. You guys want to raise your hands? Who ranked this number one?
Yeah, who was the number one? All right, cool.
Ben
so
and Davey, yep.
I'm going to throw it on over to Ben first. All right, Ben, why was this one your number one?
This
this song to me kind of encapsulates Van Halen. If Van Halen can bring you to a place, when Alex starts in with that rhythmic beating drum, it's tribal, manic, Eddie crashes in, and it brings you to a place similar to, you know, Hot to Feature, Classroom, Seaside City, Smoke and Drinking, The Beautiful World. It really, you know, transferred you somewhere. And it's just incredible. All of the musicians just firing. It's an intense, unique song for me. I love the song.
You'll hear no argument, but Davey, same sentiment?
I was just going to echo what he said. You're hearing a ripping solo right now. I'm going to shut up until that ends.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, Dave said it best. If everybody wants some, I want some too, baby. You know, the Jungle Beat intro, Dave doing his best part then, and then everybody just comes in with Eddie doing a very heavy riff. And this is the song where Diamond Dave is in peak full Diamond Dave glory, because he's doing that whole, I like it when the line runs out the back of the stockings. I've always liked those kind of high heels too. No, 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 don't take them off, don't take them off. Yeah, that's it, a little more to the right, a little more to the right. And at the end of the song, he does a funny line. Come on, I'll pay it for it. What the fuck?
I think she was scratching his back, and that's what he's like, a little more to the right, I can't reach back there. Like, yeah, there you go.
This is quintessential Van Halen right here.
Powerful track. For me, this was my number two, actually. To the shock of probably nobody, although there's probably a few people out there that would have assumed this was my number one, but nope, it's number two, just barely. It has everything you want in a, as you say, quintessential Van Halen song. Yeah, this has everything you want. If you want weird swagger Dave, you got it in spades. Not only that, he gets to make animal noises. And honestly, isn't that what you really want in a Van Halen song, is Dave making animal noises at you? It works. It works for the song. As Tom pointed out, you can see it featured in a lovely film called Better Off Dead. And that's just classic nostalgia for me. So right away, the song was going to have a special place in my heart. But not only that, it's just a kick-ass rock song. I mean, despite the fact that it's Van Halen, I think because it's Van Halen, it just sort of amplifies them even higher. But though it's not my number one, it very easily could be. Maybe next week it will be. But as of right now, it's number two for me. So I echo the sentiments of Ben and Davey of why it's their number one. Brad, where did you have it?
Number two.
My man.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't get romantic on a subway line. Just truer words have never been spoken.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, it's just a great song. I mean, I can't really add anything to what you guys have said. It's just driving. It's great solo. It's witty lyrics, a little bit of Dave swagger. Great. This is Van Halen. That's it. Mm-hmm.
This is Van Halen. Johnny Bean, would you agree with that? And where did you put this song on your rankings?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Number two. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just classic, that song. And I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, I had a paper route. And I had a CD Walkman at the time, and this was one of the albums I would listen to over and over and over. So I remember that, and I was going to say, I don't know, do you guys remember the Guitar Hero video game?
Of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, okay. If you ever got them, years ago, somebody uploaded all the tracks to all the Van Halen songs that were on that. So if you heard them, they're out there. You can get the vocal only for that of Roth.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty cool. Some of the stuff he's doing, he's like, he does some really deep stuff, like vocal wise. He sings like super deep. And just to hear the vocal stuff, it's pretty cool.
Wasn't there a Van Halen edition of Guitar Hero, if I remember
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's where the tracks are from.
Yeah.
I have them. I have them all, but they're in an iPod that's like barely functional. So I can only listen to them when I'm in the car. So sometimes when I'm in the car, I'll listen to them and I'll just be listening to like bass tracks by themselves or of course the Edward guitar tracks, the drum stuff, you know, the vocal stuff, whatever, the synthesizers, you know, all that stuff.
I believe, Johnny, they're on YouTube too.
I think so.
Because I want to say I wrote something for the VHND where I just put up a bunch of them.
Yeah, they are. You know? They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody uploaded all of them to YouTube one night. This was like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I grabbed them all. I had my computer, my DAW just running for hours and hours and hours, grabbing all this stuff. And I stuck them all in this iPod. And I can only listen to them when I'm in the car because it hooks up to the, you know, the whatever, the connection. But specifically that song, you know, all the tracks are out there. And anyway, awesome song. Something about Women, Children First. To me, it's timeless as far as like the production. I mean, some of it, there's a little much, you know, some of the reverb kind of gives it away, you know, but without, you know, aside from that, there's nothing that really dates this record. I mean, it's just, you know, pure classic, you know, Van Halen.
Never thought I'd be at a point in my life right now where I would say, hey, remember iPods? Remember how that was a thing?
Remember
it's an iPod Classic.
Yeah.
It's an iPod Classic.
Remember Guitar Hero. Yeah, right.
Remember the 07 tour? Dave's he's introducing the band and it's Wolfie with
That's
all
it.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
like it's like Dragnet watching Dragnet on your iPod.
Unreal. Crazy stuff.
I'm just waiting for Johnny to bust out an 8-track because he's talked about a CD Walkman. He showed us a cassette. He's talked about his iPod.
You were saying, I used to have there that on.
Oh, look at that. He's got the
DVH
guitar.
Controller.
He's
yeah,
got it. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Rock Band Strat. It just had the Eddie Van Halen decals that I got from the little decal shop or whatever it was. So,
oh, cool.
That's excellent.
I have that, but it's just black. Yeah.
Heath McCoy, where did everybody want some come for you?
Yeah.
It actually came in number 4 for me, that's no diss on the song. Like, it's just because the other three I loved so much. It's incredible. Everyone says quintessential Van Halen, and I think it is. It's like the entire song is like this giant party. The whole thing, you know, I forgot the words, David Lee Roth, that whole thing. I mean, there's that line about the moop meep moonbeam that nobody understands. Like, it's like he's not taking it seriously. And yet there's some great lines in there, you know. I love that. Yeah, the animal sounds, he does his Tarzan at the beginning. I love Eddie's like, the solo is amazing. And then just this kind of the effects that he's coming forward with, you know, he's almost peppering the song through it,
yes,
just with these amazing sound effects he's doing, and then of course the solo's insane. Alex Van Halen, is the star of it in a way with that tribal beat. I you know, there's so much that's just unforgettable about the song. There's so much that's just so memorable, like Dave's rap, the line running up the back of the stockings, and that. Yeah, it really is quintessential Van Halen. Me ranking at number 4 is not an indictment of the song in any way.
Sure. I feel that. Definitely feel that. So throw it on over to Chaz. How about you, sir? Where'd you put this one?
Oh, this came in at number 3 for me. Iconic Van Halen, man. So you guys have heard me mention going to the Hayden Planetarium in New York City to see laser light shows. So this one was big part of that. And just think about the build inside the planetarium, laser lights. So it was very much too, like, I'm going to say, like,
out, man.
Well, like Christmas Story and the leg lamp. So the visuals were fishnet stockings and high heels floating around the planetarium, right? With the jungle beat coming up and all kinds of other stuff. Just what a young guy wants to see when he's alone in the dark with all of his friends, you know, at the Hayden Planetarium. So we were having a good time, and the seats are vibrating. I think, you know, like you would thought that it might be that way. It was, and it was pretty cool. But you know, the Dave-isms in this song are just so plenty. And as a guitar player, my God, everyone always is like, oh, man, play that one. Especially if you have a drummer who loves to play Van Halen. They'll immediately start doing this, right? They'll sit down, they'll go, dun, 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 dun. And then, you know, you have to play along. So the open chords that Ed hits. And there's so much signature in this song about Eddie's, you know, just the way he structures and plays leads and solos, and the way you always are pointing out that he brings what the song needs and really no more. He's got a great economy and such an ear, and that, you know, just that way he had of just giving it exactly what it needed. But this is such a great example of like his descending run. So like when I was trying to learn how to play Eddie's style, this is just a if you like, he does that in so many different places in his music, right? And there's so many signature like Eddie-isms, right? And so like this one, just for me, the solo is just signature Van Halen. It's just what it needs to be and no more. And I'll never get that stuff that I saw on the ceiling of that planetarium out of my head. So this is always going to be a big boing for me. Yep.
In more ways than one, I'm sure.
Boing, boing. Boinging.
Scott Everett, how about you?
I had it at 4. Heath stole my steam when he talked about the moonbeam. That the whole damn lyric like ruins the whole song for me. Then I think that... then I think I hate the term about songs being overplayed and washing it out and ruining the enjoyment of it. But I think this one gets overplayed over some other songs, especially the live version on Sirius XM, and Dave's performance on that live album is just not great, as I've stated before. So kind of ruined it for me, but it's 4, and it's a great song. I mean, Alex is amazing on the song, but as everyone said, so I mean, it's a great song. It's just the album's great, and this is where it landed, but I'm kind of stunned it's not in the top 2. So I feel kind of vindicated where I had it. So we're good.
Still good. Yeah. I can't really hold anyone's rankings against them, because this was a hard album to rank. I keep saying it, but it's true. So where you had it is where you had it. You know, that's just kind of where it falls. Corey, where'd you have this one?
Well, I had it at number 6, a little low for me. I'm going to echo the other people who said that Take a Ride on a Moonbeam line kind of ruined it for him. It sounds like Dave got hit in the head with a fucking brick. And he had an acquired brain injury.
Jeez.
The way he delivers that line, it maybe dropped it some. But really, from 1 to 8, they're all pretty interchangeable. I love Everybody Wants Some. There's so much great stuff here. The fact that I ranked it 6 is really no knock on this song at all, because I love this track. I just liked, at the time when I was ranking this, 5 a little bit better.
And, come on. The movie,
and I
baby?
Think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Nicely done, nicely done. Eric, I'm going to ask you,
how do you do? It's hard to remember.
Scott Monroe had it number 5. He appreciates the rock and roll opera about it. He says the way it builds into crescendo after minutes of building, it's their Bohemian Rhapsody. That's an interesting comment.
That's a Of all of Van Halen songs to call their Bohemian Rhapsody, you think Everybody Wants Some is there? That's a hot take. Eric, did I ask you where you put Everybody Wants Some?
No, not yet. I had it at 5, and that's only because I got In the Cradle Will Rock, Take Your Whiskey, In a Simple Rhyme above that, plus one more, which we haven't gotten to yet. But I'll just keep it short and sweet. I mean, it's tailor-made for Van Halen live, isn't it? I mean, even Dave said once, Van Halen concert is tribal, and this song is it, you know? So everybody's covered all the points on this one. It's a classic VH.
He said that just so he had the excuse to just make Tarzan and animal noises, because you know, Dave is an animal himself. So, you know, like, I see your game, Dave. You don't fool me. But
these
number 3,
energy drinks. Yeah, and he went on the energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody Wants Some on the poll was 90.5%. What Dreams Are Made Of, 9.5%. This Dream Is Over. Some of our special guests who ranked it, Darren Paltrowitz, ranked it number 1, as did Fast Fret himself. Todd McGinnity ranked it number 1. So
I feel that.
Not surprised by that.
I feel it.
Yep. So that leaves us with number 2. There's only 2 tracks left.
Now, yeah. Now I'm not sure. I thought I had a clear idea of what was going to be number 1. Now I don't know.
Well, I tell you, we have what probably the biggest hit off the album and a song that one person on the panel called the best deep cut in Van Halen history. I'm looking at you, Eric Sanich. You called it this.
Oh, mine is two. My number one is two.
Oh,
is
I see.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh.
Number two, Romeo Delight. Total points, 206. This was tied with And the Cradle Will Rock for the longest time, and it was just the last few ballots that bumped it to number two. Its highest ranking was number one. Nine people ranked it number one, including myself. Its lowest ranking was ninth. Somebody actually ranked Romeo Delight at number nine. So it ranked ninth.
That's
once, eighth
right
once.
There.
No kidding. Seventh two times, fifth four times, fourth three times, third two times, second eight times, and first nine times. So
nine.
Majority of people on this one ranked it number one nine times. Yet it finishes number two on our rankings, Romeo Delight. I'm going to look back and see who ranked this number nine while Mark was around.
Taken to task.
Yes. If you're hoping
it's not me.
Where are you?
Oh, they are. Now, Brad, I don't know if this is your updated listings or not, but you had Romeo Delight, number nine.
No,
Brad.
I had it.
Oh, did you?
No, I did not. I had it eight.
Okay, so I didn't get your latest rankings in time then.
Guys, that is not much better.
No, listen.
Better than 10.
Go back to the last. Hey, it's okay. Listen. Go back to Everybody Wants Some. There was nothing after like five, right? This one was all over the place. But I had this one eight and Tora Tora nine.
Oh, man. According
it's a great
to
the song, though. But it's the thing, listen. This is like, which is the worst of a really good stack, right? You know,
I know,
like,
you can't do it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which
absolutely.
Is the ugliest supermodel, right? You know, yeah. it's
a good problem to have, yes.
Yeah.
It really is. It's not like this is spent.
Thank you.
For Pleasure Doom.
Yeah. Johnny Bean, you had this one ranked number one.
I did.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, tell us.
Of course. I mean, this is a song that they opened the Diver Down tour with this, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah. Festival, right? I mean,
the Us Fest. Yeah, that was basically the Diver Down set. And, yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, listen to that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and again, I have all the, they're on an iPod Classic. I have all the separate tracks to this. And if you listen to, like, I mean, just the guitar, I mean, it's just,
but to
you
me,
know, especially.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those hats sound great that Alex is playing.
They really do.
Yeah,
right.
And Mikey's playing away. Isn't it Mike?
Scott Monroe. I can't think of a better sonic representation of a heartbeat. Well said, absolutely.
Yeah. Good stuff.
But for me, the lyric in the beginning of this song is always going to be, I forgot the fucking lyrics.
Heath McCoy, how do you feel about Romeo Delight?
Yeah, number two for me. It's funny because when I was growing up with this album, I would never, it would have been mid for me. It would have been around five, six. Like, it didn't land for me for years and years. And, it's just grown and it's value for me over the years. And yeah, number two, I love the chorus, the party chorus. The people listening to the party tonight, I'm looking for somebody to squeeze. And that heartbeat part, yeah, it is perfectly captured heartbeat. The way Alex is riding on his hi-hat and the way Mike's going. And then there's just wildness to the song too, because they go from that heartbeat back into the chorus, and it's almost like they're falling down the stairs. You know, it's just like the way it goes. It's not,
yes,
it's not,
yes, thank
crash,
you.
Boom. It's like, yes, it's not, yeah, yeah. It's like almost punk in that way.
Yes.
It's
the energy,
coolest.
I know exactly what you mean. That falling energy. It's very kinetic.
Yeah.
It's like it just comes through, right? Yes. Like pratfalls, like it's all just, you know, yeah.
It's almost like it was an accident in the studio and they kept it, you know?
Right? Yeah.
So, Chaz, where did it fall for you?
Oh shit, man. Where did it fall for me? 4. And it's just because, man. This is so iconic. I think so it's at the top of my list, and you know, I've gotten shot down by my band when I introduce deep cuts like this and be like, come on guys, people will love it. They'll be like, yeah, but like, come on, man, no. You know, this is just one of those that's forever gonna be. For me, like, I know Van Halen at the US Festival, it doesn't get fucking any better than that. So look at my background, right? I mean, you know, I'm not hiding anything. This is, for me, some of my favorite Van Halen.
Well, there you go. Good stuff. Scott Everett, how about you?
I had it number one. This is like the quintessential Van Halen song. If somebody were to say, what's Van Halen? I think this is the song I'd play. I mean, everybody's just kicking ass on this song. The tempo changes, the interplay between Dave and the band, all of it, just it's an awesome song. I love this song. So I didn't think it would be number one with everyone else, but it's my number one.
Well, don't feel bad. It did not make my top three, just a spoiler alert. But Davey Lee Smith, how about you? Where did it fall for you?
Don't worry, Mark. You're not the only one. It's not in my top three. I feel guilty for putting this as my number five because that's another Guitar Hero Van Halen thing for me, because I've always loved it ever since I played it on there. And I have to give credit where it's due, because Guitar Hero helped me embrace rock and roll. And so I have to give it, and give me more of a deep dive into Van Halen's catalog. So I have to give it credit for where it's due.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. You know, one of the heaviest songs I think that they've ever done. You know, the machine gun riff, and then Dave's lyrics again. The Eddie's sloppy solo, Mike's bass line right before the solo, you know, that that heartbeat thing that where Eddie's kind of tapping on the, does this little tapping to simulate a heartbeat, and then that trash can ending, just wow, just another one. It's just very, very tough for me to rank. I feel guilty of me putting this at number five, but one of their heaviest, absolutely.
Cannot deny the heaviness, that's for sure. Let's see. He's not there, so we'll just move on to who's next? Eric Sinich, how about you?
Easily my number one. Easily my number one. Easily. And this is, like somebody mentioned, it got better over the years, and then when I heard it live.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I loved it, and it's tailor made for Dave. It's like perfect Dave era live song, because I remember hearing this song and just picturing Dave live with it. Actually, Corey, can you bring it back to the Feel My Heartbeat part? Are you able to take it back? Because I love that's the best part. Feel my heartbeat. Because this is when I imagine in my head just a certain Dave moment. Our engineer is working on this. Please stand by.
He's trying. You gave him a task that he wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, this is. I got to do my Dave impression. Is Corey talking? He's moving his lips.
He's concentrating. You know,
I'm waiting for YouTube Music to load okay. Here. So, if you can give me an exact timestamp,
Spotify.
We
don't have Spotify in Saskatchewan. Thank you, Chaz. Sure.
It doesn't exist out there.
Never know, eh?
It's probably what about 2 minutes in?
Yeah.
If my YouTube music will ever rebound, I'll play it for you.
Right, because it's like a 3-minute song, so it's like toward the end.
Fire the engineer. Yeah. Fire him.
Well, while you find that, it was my number four, and this was the one that I was having a really, really difficult time with because I really like this song. But I couldn't put it past my number one and my number two, so I thought maybe it was going to get the three spot, and it just narrowly got beat out by Take Your Whiskey Home, and I can't even really tell you why. Just that I guess Take Your Whiskey sort of spoke to my heart a little bit more than Romeo Delight did, but just barely. And that's why it made number four. But again, I had a tough time ranking a lot of these songs. This one was by far the toughest.
All right, this is it. It's coming up on the Feel My Heartbeat part, right? Yeah. All right, here we go.
Hey, I got to challenge you on the battle of the Dave impressions. Let's see who can do the better Dave.
There you go. That's it. That's all I got. It was made for Dave to do that in concert. We're building certainly tension so. Here. That's what he says in the old Seven tour.
Let's see. Did I get everybody? Who's next? Who's it? Corey, are you next?
Oh, yeah. I had a number one.
That's your number one.
Nice.
Of course.
One of my favorite Van Halen deep cuts of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Love Romeo Tonight. I kind of lived by the line, I'm taking my whiskey to the party tonight, and I'm looking for somebody to squeeze. But I was in Plentywood, Montana, at the Ejaculate and Evacuate. Mm-hmm. I was looking for somebody to squeeze.
Oh, boy. There's a really bad Montana joke in there somewhere, but I'm not the one to make it.
And Johnny's like, what the fuck did I come into here? I was
oh my gosh.
Johnny has no context for that story.
This is
no,
looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there it is. I mean, you guys, we've made the list,
Mark,
and now we yes.
Oh, Mark, you had it number four.
I did it. Yes, I mentioned that while you were looking for looking for this.
Oh, right,
time
you did.
Stamp.
Yeah.
But and again, I'll reiterate, this particular song was the most difficult in placement for me. So, yes, it made it to number four, but doesn't mean I think it's shitty. So it's you can't. It's Romeo Delight. But that means, you guys, we've come to the number one song, to nobody's surprise whatsoever, the most popular song from this track. And you guys, if you haven't guessed it, it's the song that's our namesake here at Podcastle Rock. Hit them with it, Corey. Choo-choo.
That's right. Number one. And the Cradle Will Rock. 222 total points. It's highest ranking number one by 11 people out of 30. It's lowest ranking number seven. I was kind of shocked that somebody had this one number seven. Then we had four votes at number five, five votes at number four, two votes at number three, seven votes at number two, and 11 votes at number one. So, And the Cradle Will Rock, our theme song, finishing number one on Women and Children First, to the shock and surprise of no one.
I mean, I just want to say to all of our voters in this particular venture, I'm very proud of all of you for not placing this one at number nine. For the simple fact of like, ugh, whatever, I've heard this song so many times, I'm just going to put it last, because fuck it. Like, thank you for not doing that, because you would be absurd. It is an interesting one vote for number seven,
he's on the call. He's on the call.
If they want to be so
was
bold.
Was it Brad again?
No, it's Johnny Bean.
It was Johnny Bean.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And he didn't even know it.
I had no idea.
Look at the surprise.
I had no idea.
He has an alter ego. He doesn't even know.
I
the consensus of this whole night has been this
He looks
this
embarrassed.
Album, this album has been very difficult to rank because there's so many bangers. One could argue it's 9 full bangers, or like 8.5, I guess.
Bangers and slappers, man. Bangers and slappers. Slappers.
Bangers so and slappers. Some of these songs got to go where they got to go because other tracks just feel a little better. So for you, I'm just going to assume that you were kind of thinking maybe this one was overplayed enough, so you're just going to throw it kind of not quite to the end, but to the back of the list. Am I right?
Me? Oh.
Yeah.
I have no memory of actually rating any of these songs. I think I was just told, hey.
Look at this background, guys. Come on. There's no way you rank this. Look at that. Yes. There's no way you put this at 7. No way.
I have no memory of actually doing that, but like I said, I love the song. Maybe it is. I've heard it, a billion. I mean, we've all heard it a billion times.
Cradle Fatigue.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe.
Johnny Christmas Tree, the Scantron on this. He doesn't remember what he did.
I really have no memory. I think, yeah.
It was a while ago when you submitted these, so we'll definitely give you a pass on that.
Cool.
yeah, it's fine. It's fine. We won't hold that against you at all. Heath McCoy, where did you put this one for you?
It was 1 for me. For one thing, I love that it's Eddie's first time getting keyboards onto a Van Halen. I'm right about that, aren't I? He played it on the organ, and
they
threw it as if it were a guitar. Yeah, I love it. I love the subversive way they did that too. That it sounded like a guitar, so he got his keyboard yayas out that way. I love that he did that, and the groove is so incredible throughout. And I think because of that, actually. And I think the thing that wins the day for this song for me, the thing that makes it so great, is just the irreverence of it. It's such an irreverent song. Dave's he's the punk kid. He's just the punk kid. He's flunking out of school and he's pissing off his parents. I love the juniors' grades, imitating the parents, the whole. And just the whole idea that, it's a song about kids want to rock and roll. But instead of saying, like a lesser songwriter would have said, kids want to rock, kids want to rock and roll. Dave instead turns it into cites the nursery rhyme, the cradle will rock. It's just clever. And it's got that irreverence to it. And I think that's the thing that makes it such a great song.
Indeed, indeed. Brad, how about you?
1. So this one I got right.
yes, you did.
Yeah. It's what a great opening lyric. Which I mean, I think about this when everybody says today, nobody wants to work today. Kids don't want to work today. And you go through every generation says, the prior generation doesn't want to do any work, and then you look at this opening lyric. It's kind of frightening how this younger generation swings, right? Back in when was this album? 80? 79? 80?
80.
It's just this one just holds, right? The lyrics, they stand up today like they did back then. It's a great song. It just drives, and you've got like I said earlier, all the aspects of Van Halen come out in this song. But no, this one I did not screw up. This is 1.
This is your 1. There you go. Let it be known. Let the record show. Chaz, do you agree with that, or where did you have it somewhere else?
No, I actually put it in at 1. I mean, as I was saying, it was in deference to you guys, but no, I mean, to me, this is come on, it doesn't get any more iconic. To me, it's actually like when you listen to the track, it's interesting as we've gone through it here. It's for me, probably like the most finished song on this album because of like what we had described about some of the other tunes, feeling in various states of just like, really kind of, this feels really organized and very well structured and like the most complete song of the whole album. Mm-hmm. But that said, it's just so powerful. And I mean, everything Heath said about the themes for the entire record coming through right from, the outset here. Have you seen Junior's grades? It's all about this kid. And then the whole rest of the record becomes basically this kid's narrative. The guy that's being spoken about here is kind of the way I've looked at it. And if you haven't guessed, you know, I strongly identified with that individual. So this, all these songs have meant so much to me, but it's just so curious that in my overall six pack, right, this it's at the bottom, but it's like, yeah, it's just goddamn forced. Maybe it's because it's got a couple of outlier tracks and they're just so different and kind of disparate. Because all in all, man, this is brilliant. So this song rocks.
It very well could be. You'll have to figure that out. You know, talk to yourself about the and try to figure it out. You know, work with yourself about the why you feel so strongly about putting it at the bottom and figure it out. Just kidding. Scott, how about you, man?
I had a number two. So, Groove is just so dirty and funky. It's just a fantastic song. And I think everyone said it. You know, one of my favorite things about the 2007 tour was everyone was wondering if Dave was cool with Wolf playing bass in the band. And when they changed the lyrics to "Have you seen Wolfie's grades during the tour?" They kind of made it cool that, hey, Dave may be cool with Wolf playing bass in the band during that tour and all that moving forward. So it's a great song. And again, a lot of fun, a lot of funk. It's just great.
I would have loved to have seen that live. Would have loved to have seen them live at all, but sadly, never got the chance and won't. But C'est la vie, David Lee, where did you pet this song?
This was a tough debate for me to put this in my number one because I initially had this in number one, but I had this at number two, just barely behind Everybody Wants Some, because this song's very sentimental to me. It's one of the very first Van Halen songs that I've ever heard. I grew up with this song a lot back when I was a wee lad. And, you know, driving home from my grandmother's house after days of school, you know, from a little millennial like myself. But the tough debate for me to put this number one or number two, because, you know, the electric Wurlitzer electric piano plugged into a Marshall speaker to start it off. It's a very cool effect. And then, you know, Eddie does his Eddie thing. The message of any rock and roller or any rock and roll podcast is rock on. So they said that many times throughout the song. So whenever they scream rock on, so yeah, rock on, rock on, boys, rock on. And then very, very memorable moment for me is one of my very, very, very favorite Dave-isms. Have you seen Junior's grades?
Yes.
Never gets old for me. One of my very favorite Dave-isms right there. So very, very sentimental song for me. It's one of the very first songs from Van Halen I've ever heard, along with Jump and Panama. I remember very clearly growing up with it. So I wanted this to be number one for quite a while. But ever, and, you know, after hearing this album, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, Corey, when I sent you the rankings. Yeah. I listened to it once right before I sent the rankings to you. And I was like, then when I heard Everybody Wants Some, I was like, oh my God. This is so tough, but yeah, it just had to be there. So it's very sentimental for me.
Very well. Rock on, we must. So, and now rock we throw on. It over to Eric Sinich to explain to us why he absolutely despises this song at number one. He didn't want it to be at number one at all.
No, explain. Not at all. I have it at, I have it at four, behind Romeo in a Simple Rhyme and Take Your Whiskey Home. But, you know, maybe because maybe I'm with Johnny a little bit, maybe just because I've heard it so many times that it's lost its effect. But I mean, this is a classic. And there was an interview with Al from 95 that Alan Berry just put up on the Tapes Archive, and we put it on VHND. And Alex was talking about the songwriting process and how Al and Ed just jammed continuously day after day, night after night. And then when something came up, you know, they worked with it, and that's what they did with this one. And it was like two straight weeks, 2 hours a day, just working on that main riff until they finally broke through and got the rest of the song. And that says it all about the magic of Ed and Al. And of course, Dave coming in and, you know, yeah, have you seen Junior's grades, man? That's classic. That is classic, you know?
Well, you see, and what you just said, Eric, leads me to say that then everything Al did, his contribution to the songwriting absolutely.
That's been this argument before.
Yeah, man, totally. All right, so I won't be redundant. Yeah, man, that totally supports that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly was a magic with those two. There's no question, and And, you know, Al hasn't played with anybody other than his dad and his brother.
Yeah.
Outside, of course, you know, the rest of the guys are banned, but like he has not, you know, I mean, he, and I don't think he will, like Wolfgang said, I don't think he can get himself to do it emotionally to get out there with anybody else.
Yeah. And I mean, he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. And he certainly, you know, he is well earned a retirement from playing if that's what he wants to do, because if he doesn't want to play anymore because his brother's not there, then, you know, he doesn't have to, and he shouldn't have to. So we respect it. We're all supportive over here of that. We wish Alex luck because he's a hell of a player. So if he wants to play some more, we encourage that.
Sure.
If he doesn't, we respect it. All good. This, of course, yeah, every Cradle of Rock, obviously my number one, because it has to be. It's one of my all-time favorite Van Halen songs. It's definitely one that kind of helped shape my musical journey in terms of Van Halen fandom. And I know everyone keeps mentioning the Dave's line of, have you seen Junior's grades? And it just, yeah, that's, it's funny because it seems like it's out of left field, but it's really not. If you listen to the content of the song, it kind of fits, but it's just funny, his delivery. And but there's a reason why we all remember it. It sticks out. It's just a good line, on top of the fact that the rest of the song just absolutely rocks, you know, much like the cradle, as Dave is talking about. It rocks. It is, in my opinion, one of the staples of the Van Halen catalog. And help, again, we named our podcast after it, so it just there's a special sentimentality involved. So it there was no competition. It had to be my number one. Corey, this was not your number one, right? Why do you hate fun?
I don't. It was my number two. Number two, that's not bad. I love this track, and maybe it suffers a bit from. Yeah, exactly. Why do you hate fun? Thief of Joy, I think, is
thief
my
of
quote.
Joy.
Yeah.
Thief of Joy.
I'm just a thief, yes, of joy. But I just want to bring this up. I think I'm treating Johnny unfairly. I found the email that you sent me.
Oh.
And here's my list of songs off Women and Children First. This is you ranking Tora, okay, Tora above Cradle Will Rock. Do you deny this, sir? Or was this,
wow,
an imposter, maybe?
Which list, which way does this go?
Yeah, it could
Romeo
go the other
one
way.
Or,
yeah.
Or, Tora Tora. I love Tora Tora. I mean, I don't know how you guys ranked it, but I actually did a guitar lesson on how to play that years ago on my channel. Wow. Because that riff, it's actually backwards. That's not actually what you hear on the, yeah, record, is actually the tape is flipped. So if you actually flip that track, you'll actually hear Edward,
oh, cool,
take the bar. Like I said, I did a lesson on it, and you can actually hear, it's pretty cool to hear the other way, the other direction, right? But again, I have no memory of ranking these tracks. but I will say, you know, I will say I am a fan. Okay. Nice. I mean, I do have the book.
Yes.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I found this I was in LA recently, and it was like $10.
Cool.
Oh,
so,
oh
yes.
Nice. Oh,
cool. So, well, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but it's pretty.
I've never seen the Women and Children. No, that's a great.
It's pretty amazing stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. $10 well spent.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
so
get a Coke in LA for $10.
Yeah,
you
see?
Got that? Oh, my God. Wow.
Is, so. Again, I have no memory of ranking this stuff, but I grew up on it, and you know.
Look at Corey pulling that evidence out, like
Johnny on the spot.
Over 30 photos of OJ with the Bruno Maglis. He's just like, here it is. You deny this, sir?
The Bruno Maglis. Oh, my God. Where Johnny is Cousin Ben? You must have quit.
He made that list under Foggy Drunken Fever Dream. It's on some Johnny Walker or something, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't know. We'll put that song there and there because chaos." But hey, look, we're all agents of chaos here, so you know we appreciate the wrench you try to throw in there. However, the rankings be the rankings, and you know, now we have officially completed it. You guys, we completed another album in this journey. For the podcast will rock, so yeah, give yourself a round of applause, everyone, yes, in the sir chat. The you know, not the lurkers this time, just the participants. Good stuff, man. No, Corey, any final words before we all part?
No, this is an interesting album to rank because everybody kind of had the same problem in that it's all great. Where do you kind of slot them in from 1 to 6, 7, 8? Like, there's not a lot of difference between them all. So a great, great album. I think I put it in my top six, or my six pack of Van Halen records. A standout track. I really kind of like them all the same. So let's just recap the rankings. Number 9, actually, Johnny, was Tora Tora. With 60 points, it was ranked 9th by most people. Number 8 was Loss of Control. Number 7, Could This Be Magic? Number 6 was Fools. Number 5, In a Simple Rhyme. Number 4, Take Your Whiskey Home. And number 3, Everybody Wants Some. Number 2, Romeo Delight. And number 1, Cradle of Rock. And it was Romeo Delight in the lead for the longest time. It was the last like 4 or 5 ballots that came in that really kind of pushed and the Cradle of Rock to the number one spot. But it finished with, 18 points ahead of Romeo Delight. So very close race overall. A couple of these, like Could This Be Magic, Loss of Control, the difference was 1 point, just one ranking separated those two. So great, great record. And I'm looking forward to, this is now the second album we've completely finished, Mark. Uh-huh. And we got a couple of records, like 1984. We have one song left. Diver Down, we only got a couple left. So I think OU812, we have a couple left. So yeah, we got interesting to see which one is number 3 that we finish off here.
There's a good chance we probably finish off the album we don't like to talk about before 1984. I hope that's the case, because I want to get done with that album, not 84, the other one. I want to get done with that one as quick as possible, because I think the less said about it, the better. I'm not going to.
We got two songs on that one.
Yeah, we still got two, so it's basically the mistress wheel, and whatever she decides, she's just gonna throw at us. And as Agents of Chaos, we know she loves to bring the chaos. Yes, the wheel is a girl. So there you go.
One of the best songs on that record is yet to come.
Well, if you say so, Chaz, but you are on that island by yourself.
Once I had the idea of what the worst song was, but then that was corrected by coming on your show. Yes.
Hey, just real quick here. Don't look at that album as Van Halen 3. Look at Women and Children First as the real Van Halen 3, because this is the real Van Halen 3 right here, baby.
Good call. Yep.
We'll go with that. Just to help the the pill go down easier. I know
what's for sure? Apologies to Gary.
Apologies to Gary once again. I know. Speaking of, you guys, all of you out there listening, we do have a merch store indeed, and there's a particular shirt in the merch store that says "Apologies to Gary" with his beautiful face on it. And I just, there it is, right there. If you're watching,
right there, Brewster.
I really need all of you to do me a favor.
Yes, like, okay.
You all support the show, and we appreciate it in every single way that you do. But I need everyone to purchase one of these shirts and then tell your friends and have them purchase a shirt, because I need an army of people wearing "Apologies to Gary" shirts, because eventually he's going to see it and he's going to go, "What in the hell is that?" And they're going to say, "Oh, you got to check out this podcast, dude. You get talked about a lot." And we just really want to have Gary on the show. And I feel like eventually he can't stay away forever, because I would love to pick his brain. But more than that, because it would be hilarious to me to have an army of people wearing this shirt and him not understanding, and the people around you not understanding. And it's like this special inside joke. So if you can, before we're done, we have 27 songs left in this iteration of the show. Where we go from here, that's still up in the air, but it's on you guys. We need you to get those shirts. If you don't get any other shirts in the merch store, get the "Apologies to Gary."
Because grab this one too. I like this one because the 100% certified Van Halen expert. Everybody's a Van Halen expert but us. So
that's true.
Please lord it over us. Yeah, yes, lord it over absolutely. Us by wearing the shirt.
These are the only shirts Corey and I are not allowed to wear, because everyone else is an expert except for us. So
and look at that ejaculating vacuum.
There's some great stuff, courtesy mostly of our friend Kevin Brown, because
I'm gonna send you one, Eric. There it is. Plentywood Montana. I'm gonna send you one.
Montana.
The ejaculation graphic followed by a man evacuating.
Also wear these, because I think having an army of people wearing this shirt also would just put a big smile on my face.
It's not just premature ejaculation, it's premature evacuation.
Yes, it is. Right. And it's
I just can't believe America has a convenience store that's called the Come and Go, K-U-M,
and go. Spelled K-U-M, yeah. It's a real thing. I wish I could tell you it's a joke. It's not a joke. It's real. It's still funny.
I believe Russell Brand works behind the counter at that
store. Oh,
God.
From what I hear.
But also, probably.
I did not do those things. Put your fucking hands down.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So,
put your hands down. The man of a thousand voices, Eric Senich. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But go to podcastlerock.com, find our merch store there. You can also find all the backlog episodes, all the things that we got going on. Also, you can find us on Twitter, X, wherever the hell that app's called before it implodes, at Podcastle Rock. And then we got a Facebook page. And so that's where you can find us if you want to communicate with us directly. I'm at Mark the Bat. Corey is at CD Morissette, but you know he's kind of like, don't bother me. I'm not, just whatever.
Yeah, he's got his hands telling full. Me I suck. I get it. I suck.
He's got his hands full taking over all of the other podcasts. You know, he's got time to tweet at you. So
that's
or
right.
X or what do you call him? Is like to X at you.
This
is
no, like, I'm still. It's still weird. Twitter. Fuck
yeah.
Elon
don't
Musk.
X me, bro.
Screw Elon Musk.
There you go. But
execating.
Big round of applause. Big cheers to all of our fine panelists that joined us on the show. All you guys that showed up for the live show, and most of you show up every time, and we love that. And
nice, Johnny.
Why don't we go around the horn and let everybody plug whatever they got coming on? Let's start with Johnny Bean. I love his YouTube channel. Johnny, it's so great that you're able to log in tonight and join us here. I told you, we got to get you on one of our episodes proper. What we do is we put every single Van Halen song on a wheel. Every week we spin the wheel and we talk about whatever comes up. We got 27 tracks left. So if you're up for it, maybe sometime in October, November, we'll get you on the show. We'll spin the wheel and we'll talk about a random track. But before then, why don't you tell the folks about what you got going on?
Yeah. My name is Johnny Bean. I've been doing YouTube, for almost 19 years or whatever, 18 years. And I do a Van Halen show. I call it Exclusively Van Halen. And, it's a podcast. It's the same thing everywhere. Spotify, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Actually, I wish I would have known. Are you guys usually on Fridays at this time?
No, well, these are just special live shows.
It's just... whenever. But I wish I would have known, because actually I do a show. I taught Kramer guitars every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And so I had just done like a 3-hour show, and I got done and I just opened up YouTube and I saw you guys were on. If I would have known you guys were on, I would have like rated your channel. I would have brought my audience over here, but I didn't even know. So
for the next time. So we'll keep that in the cap. But where can people find your stuff?
Everywhere. JohnnyBean.link. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Everywhere there is, I'm there.
Well, there you go. Yeah, check that out, everybody. Heath McCoy, man, always a pleasure. We didn't talk wrestling once, and I'm sorry about that, because, like, you
That's all right.
You gotta talk wrestling. But let the people know where they can find you, what you're up to, and your work.
That's my plug. Pain and Passion, the History of Stampede Wrestling. You can get it, Amazon and ECW Press. I think it's at ECW Press on Twitter. And I'm on Twitter at Van Heathen.
Right on. Get that stuff. It is well worth your time, well worth your read. If you know anything about wrestling from the yesteryears, like, this is definitely something to check out. So awesome stuff. Brad, thank you once again for being part of this, man. Let the people know where they can find you. What you got going on?
I'm just a tax lawyer in Florida, man. And nobody gives a shit, right? You know, I mean, that's
for me. The tax is done.
Yeah, well, that's not me. You call me when you get fucked. That's I'm just a dad who loves music, right? That's it. So
Well, it was a pleasure having you here, Brad. Thank you very much for joining
us. And
thank you to Ben Andreozzi, who had to duck out.
Right.
This was his first ever podcast, so hopefully he had a good time and we can get him back on the show.
Absolutely. So shout out to Ben. So, but still, thank you. Yeah. Brad, we're just like you. We're humble fans. We're just Corey and I, we're just two dudes. So, you know, you're in good company, I swear. Good company like Chaz Mataz. They're always with not the hot takes, but the takes that he has, even when he fucks up a simple thing like ranking an album. But you don't fuck up charts. So good for you on that one. But let the people know what you got going on, where they can find you.
Well, first of all, thanks for letting me be here and be a part of this. This is great. You guys rock. And congrats again on the 100th anniversary. And now another, you know, milestone, man. Second record done. Damn. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the Rush Rash podcast now. Rush Rash. We analyze the band Rush. Oh, wait. What's that format, Corey? Is it track by track with...
It's really original. There might be a wheel involved. Yeah,
there is. There's a wheel. There's the exact format that's lifted.
Cutting edge. Two
guys right here. Like I said, you needed a whole category. What was born from... And the podcast Will Rockwell, Rush Rash. And then the other podcast that's going to launch here in a couple of weeks called Regarding Roger, where we're going to go through Roger Waters' Mr. Whitaker there, Mr. Morissette, but Mr. Roger Waters go through his reimagining of Dark Side of the Moon 50 years later. So comparing first album to this current take and see what the heck is that all about? So that'll be at Regarding Roger on Twitter. And then we're at Rush Rash Podcast on that same platform, Facebook as well. Come check us out. If you like this, you'll probably like that. If you like Rush.
Or finally, Rush. A podcast for Rush. Awesome.
There you go.
There it is. But Scott Everett, man, always a pleasure having you on these live shows. We love your takes on these episodes and these songs. Tell the people where they can find you if they want.
I'm at J. Scott Everett. Just thank you for having me tonight. Thank you, boys, for keeping the music alive. Thank you, Johnny, for your podcast, and Eric for the work you do at the Van Halen News Desk. You know, it's all upon all of us to keep it alive. So if you haven't heard, go out and listen to Crossing Over on the streaming services. The remaster's out today, I think. So go out and check it out.
Yeah.
There's your homework assignment, everyone. Good stuff. So Davey Lee Smith, always good. Always a pleasure, dude. Good to see you. Let the people know what you got going on, where they can find you.
Likewise, man. Thank you for having me back on. It was back at the start of the year when we did Center Swing, and now it's almost the end of the year when I get to hang out with you guys again. I'm serious. I honestly wish I wasn't working on the weekend so I can hang out and do these live streams with you a lot more often. Or at least just talk more Van Halen with you guys, because I'm always down with that. But yeah, like I said, thanks again for letting me on here and hang with you guys again. So I'm on Twitter at Davey Lee Smitty. If you want to hear me see me talk more music and stuff like that, or keep an eye on like what content I do for my YouTube, which is mainly like game content and all that stuff. And I want to get more ambitious with my projects I want to get into, but I may need a little bit more freedom for that to actually come to fruition. But I would love to be more ambitious, like maybe do fully fleshed out reviews of maybe games or hey, even albums, or because I have done a few Van Halen albums, but they weren't really fully fleshed out, or I guess you would call it like a professional review, because of all the uhs and the ums and all that stuff, and like I'm doing now. But I'd love to get more ambitious with my content and all that stuff, but that's probably gonna be sometime down the road. But again, thank you for having me back on here and hanging with you guys again, and especially like guys like Eric Sinich and all the other guys in here too. So it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the aforementioned Eric Sinich, man. You come here, you spit your knowledge, and we just eat it up, man. And you're doing great work over there at the Van Halen News Desk. We mention it every single episode because you guys just bring it, and you're a good dude. So let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you guys have been great every single week. I always listen, and right at the top of the episode, VHND. So we always appreciate that. VHND.com. And just to kind of piggyback off what Scott said about Crossing Over. I just put up something just before I went on with you guys on Crossing Over. Sammy and Mike put up a video just talking about the song and just, you know, the meaning of the song threefold, because it was originally written about Ed and Al's friend who took his life, and that was from 1983. And then 95, they write about Ed Leffler, their manager who passed. And now with Eddie gone, it's got, you know, even more deeper meaning. So and check that out. Of course, we always try to put, you know, stuff up daily, if not every other. The Van Halen store, also just keep in mind that the Sammy Hagar era remasters and rarities on sale October 6th. So you can get your copy there now, pre-order it. They are there. So it's kind of exciting, man. This is it. They're coming. Finally, October 6th. I can't wait to hear Oh Yeah It Went Too and 5150 specifically remastered. And the podcast, Booked on Rock. So you can go to bookedonrock.com and all the platforms. You can connect through there. Just did an episode on Body Count with Ice-T. You guys remember that band, the metal band?
Yeah. Hell yes.
They put out some good stuff in the last few years.
Yep. An episode on Counting Crows. We had one on Warren Zevon. We had one on David Bowie. You know, Ozzy, Liberty, DeVito, Billy Joel's drummer was on.
Nice.
So, and we got video segments from the show too. So you can find it all at bookedonrock.com. Put up a video on who is the real Mr. Jones, Counting Crows.
Right on. Definitely check that out. That's like I said, we utilize the news desk every single episode, because that's the hub of Van Halen information as far as we're concerned. We just sort of reiterate it back to them. So always a pleasure. Always enjoy doing that. And once again, thank you all so much. Corey, any parting words before we finally head out?
Just you can check us out at www.podcastlerock.com. Catch up on old episodes. Get yourself some merch, like the Plenty One Montana shirt or the Apologies to Gary shirt. You can find it all there. Even when we do these special shows, we like to just bring in the wheel. If we were doing a regular show, what would we have spun? So I'm just going to give it a quick spin.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
We're going to find out what we would have had here tonight if we were doing a regular show.
Spanked.
I would have been the trouble with never.
It was so close to Pleasure Dome.
Yeah.
So
it was, yeah. That Atomic Punk is right there, too. Yeah, we had some good stuff. So
those two A Different Kind of True songs are my manifestations.
Yeah. Oh, nice. They are going to stay on the wheel. For the next time that we do this, we're going to get Eric back on. We got to get Johnny on. Yeah, we got 27 songs left on the wheel from the Van Halen catalog. So we got some good ones still on there. Summer Nights is still on there. Dance the Night Away is still on there. Jamie's Crying. Josephine is still on there. You betcha. next week, we'll be going back to the wheel. But we just celebrated episode 100, too. So if you want to go back and check out our two-part 100th episode, that was a lot of fun. Thank you all for contributing to the show tonight. And Mark, why don't you wrap us up here and take us home? Take your whiskey home, if you will.
Well, grab whatever's left of your drink. I am empty here. So the show is over. Therefore, the only thing left to do is to take what's left of your whiskey and go on home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here unless you're going to watch past videos, which you absolutely should. Tell your friends about the show if they like Van Halen whatsoever. Tell them if they like listening to a couple of schmucks just kind of gab on about a band we like. We are absolutely right in their wheelhouse, because once again, for the upteenth time, and I'll keep saying it, Corey and I, we're not experts. We're not experts on this band. We are not rock historians. We don't have insider information about the goings-ons on the Van Halen, just the life of the Van Halen family. We don't know. We are simple fans. Humble fans that like the band, and we're here to talk about it. We're exploring new territory on this journey. If you want expertise, you talk to, you know, that guy, or you talk to Greg Renoff or a few others out there. It's like, those are the experts. But guess what? They've been on our show, so we must be doing something okay.
You got a problem. Talk to me and Greg.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, go after them. But
take it up with the news desk.
Take it up with them, but you don't go after them. You go through us first, because I have no problem, you know, telling the haters what I think, because I thrive on it. We're agents of chaos, and we are also the show called And the Podcast Will Rock, and we all will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.